Good morning. It's great to see everyone this morning. Welcome to the Lord's house on this warm Sunday morning. Please, as always, take a few seconds to sign the friendship register at the end of each pew closest to the center aisle, and then pass it along to those seated next to you. And please take a look at the announcements inside your bulletin. We still have a number of needs for the food pantry and a family promise collection. Today, right after the 11 o'clock service, please join us for our August potluck lunch in the fellowship hall. The outreach committee will take care of setup and cleanup, and a free will offering will support the weekend food bag ministry for the North Kansas City Schools Early Childhood Center. There are several events for our children and youth coming up this month. On Saturday, August 13th, 1 week from yesterday, we will have an adventure day for our kiddos in elementary school. This starts at 2:30. There is information in the bulletin about that. Then on Sunday, August 21st, which is, I believe, 2 weeks from today, we will have a sort of end of summer, beginning of school year party for our youth who are going into sixth grade or above. That will start at 3 o'clock. We'll have some pizza and a movie and other snacks such as chips and soda, and of course, some games and fellowship time. Please contact either Kathy or myself if you have questions about either of those events. And Bob has a minute for mission.
Good morning. From the Outreach Committee, with your donations of 3 filled and 11 empty backpacks, we were able to buy 6 more and fill them with school supplies for a total of 20 full school backpacks to be delivered to the North Land Assistance Center, which serves the North Kansas City School District. The weekend food bags was formerly called pantry packs. I gotta breathe. That's a long way to walk. But we changed the name because of the confusion of the school backpacks. Children receive free and reduced priced meals through the school lunch and breakfast program. For many of these children, school meals may be the only meal they get. what happens when they go home over the weekend. Through our outreach committee, we provide 10 children from early childhood special education of North Kansas City with weekend food bags with enough nutrients and easy to prepare food to get them through the weekend. That's a weekend food bag prepared and delivered every week for 40 weeks of the year. I would like to stop to give a special thank you to Don and Judy Thomas for shopping, preparing, and delivering these food bags every week for us. Today, we are hosting the potluck dinner, but an offering basket will be available. If you would like to help us in this special need, thank you and God bless.
When I saw him wheeling the cart up here, I thought he's going to be serving us breakfast. I'm kind of disappointed. Well, folks, I just love it when Ken Remeter is with us. He's been a dear friend of Berry Christian Church for quite a few years. Ryan is taking a last chance vacation before school starts, and since his full-time job is a school teacher, well, he's going to certainly need this vacation. So, Ken, thank you and welcome this morning.
Thank you. Let's stand together and responsibly read our call to worship from Psalm 135. Praise the Lord, praise his name, you servants of the Lord. Praise the Lord because he is good. Sing praises to his name because he is kind. Praise the Lord. Let's sing together all the verses of 192. All glory, Lord, and honor. And amen.
Amen. May we bow in a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the privilege to gather here amongst our brothers and sisters in Christ as we celebrate our Christian Sabbath here at Berry Christian Church and during our fellowship lunch later today. We are grateful for this place and for its people, for our leadership and our music ministry. And as we begin our worship service this morning, we welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit, who ushers in the living presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Take a few moments to greet and welcome those around us this morning. All right, please be seated. And we would love to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside. Tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
To share with you our prayer concerns for the week. First of all, Ron and Teresa Wolf, who are normally here at the 8:30 service, are still dealing with the coronavirus. Teresa had it last Sunday. As the week progressed, well, then Ron picked it up too. So I think he tested positive about Thursday of this past week. So both of them are staying home, and please keep them in your prayers. Rihanna Ralston had surgery last night at St. Luke's to remove a rather significant tumor from her intestines. She's making good progress. We're grateful for that, as we hope all progresses well in the days ahead. So, Ruth Ann, we're certainly keeping all of you in prayer. Jill Gregory is now in rehabilitation at North Kansas City Hospital. We're grateful for that progress. Debbie Bozinski is back at Ignite, which is just west of the church here. Betty and Jerry Donahue continue to be in our prayers, as Betty is continuing to have some health concerns, and Jerry is still trying to get through all those steps so that he can be put on that list for a kidney transplant. Larry Pitts is continuing radiation treatments, and Evelyn Prusner has been diagnosed with breast cancer. So please keep those folks in prayer. We also remember Jerry Treese's niece, Paula Case. She is going to be having heart surgery on the 11th of August at the Boone County Hospital in Columbia, Missouri. Perla Mora's niece, Michelle Vales, continues to be in our prayers. Abby, the daughter of Connie Stark's friend, is in our prayers, as well as David Brownfield, Samantha Sander, Anoki Krager, and Bonnie shares with us that Chris Bishop's making great progress with the implants that have really made a huge difference for the Parkinson's disease for him. We're really grateful for that level of progress. So with all these people upon our hearts, let us bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and holy God, we are privileged to once again assemble in your house of worship to offer praise and celebration to your holy name. We recognize, O God, that great difficulties prevail close at hand and also far away. A litany of tribulations are the burdens that so many people face day to day. We continue to seek your great comfort for the millions displaced by wartime circumstances. We pray for the thousands whose lives are being disrupted weekly by extreme weather conditions, fires in the western states and floods in Kentucky and onward. We are mindful that drought now affects more than half of the lower 48 states. Droughts prevail in Canada, Australia, South America, and Asia, and Africa. Even the Rhine and the Thames rivers in Europe are now at low points as heat prevails. The challenges of daily living can often lead to worry and anxiety. Yet as we face whatever may prevail in our day, our minds and hearts also hearken back to the night that our Lord Jesus anguished over his fate while praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. We're reminded that in the midst of his fervent prayer, his anguish was so great that his sweat came forth like drops of blood. We remember that Christ was committing himself to not only bear the pain and suffering of the cross, but to also carry the load of humanity's sin, even to the depths of Hades. Yet because your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ was faithful to your plan of salvation, O God, we know that we have redemption for our souls. So as humanity faces the challenges of this day, may we also find great comfort and ultimate assurance that the end game is the victory of your eternal glory. For this great hope, we give you thanks as we also offer the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I've gotten into the habit of reading a Bible study every morning before I start my day. And a few years ago, I fell across something that has truly changed my faith journey for me, and that is simply, this has been done for you, not to you. How many times have we said, how could you do that to me? All this stuff always happens to me. Everything always happens to me. But if you change the word to for, it changes things. How could you do that for me? How come all this stuff always happens for me? Everything always happens for me. Well, it has forced me to look for God's plan, the mystery of God's plan for me. I tried to do what's right. I thought I had the answers. I thought I chose the surest road, but that road brought me here. So I put up a fight and told you how to help me. Now just when I have given up, the truth is coming clear. You know better than I. You know the way. I've let go the need to know why, for you know better than I. If this has been a test, I cannot see the reason, but maybe knowing I don't know is part of getting through. I tried to do what's best, and faith has made it easy to see the best thing I can do is put my trust in you, for you know better than I. You the need to know why, for you know better than I. I saw one cloud and thought it was the sky. I saw a bird and thought that I could follow. But it was you who taught that bird to fly. If I let you reach me, will you teach me? For you know better than I. You know the way I've let go. The need to know why. I'll take what answers you supply. It's hard to do at 8 o'clock in the morning. Man.
This morning's communion hymn, Because He Lives, was written in 1971 by Bill and Gloria Gaither. Commenting about the hymn, they once said that the words, because he lives, is the premise of the hymn, because Christ's resurrection from the tomb is the basis from which everything else flows. As we reflect on the words of this most cherished Christian hymn, may we too embrace the truth that we can face any challenges in life because Christ our Lord arose from the dead and became the victor over sin and even death itself. Because Christ lives, we can face tomorrow. All fears are gone, and Christ holds the future. Life is worth the living because he lives. We sing hymn number 562, stanzas 1 and 3, please.
God sent his Son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive.
gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Kimberly leads us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning as fellow believers, tied together in love and fellowship. We ask for your blessing on this bread and this cup, representing the shed body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask that these emblems serve as a reminder to us that we are Christ's light in this world, and we represent his love to others we meet. Help us to be loving and kind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome each of you to share.
Thank you.
nameless friends rallied around Jesus on those last days of his life and offered their resources without recognition. A nameless man allowed Jesus to borrow a donkey in which he rode into Jerusalem on Lambing Day. As he conveyed to his followers that he was to be the King of Peace, a nameless man gave Jesus the use of the upper room wherein Jesus and his disciples partook of the Last Supper. And in today's message, we know that a nameless follower of Christ offered the use of his private garden in Gethsemane as a place of solace and prayer for Jesus and his apostles. We, like they, remain nameless in the offering of our resources for God's purposes. And this is a good thing, because it is not us, but rather the name of Jesus Christ that we wish to uphold as we hope the monetary gifts of unnamed thousands will glorify God's kingdom here on earth. Ruth Ann offers us a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we give our tithes, gifts, and offerings, we pause to give thanks for all the endless blessings that are given to us every day, for a place to worship in freedom, and for the eternal promise of forgiveness and eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes, now and always. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Please be seated. Scripture text I share with you, this is Matthew's Gospel, looking at the 26th chapter. Verse 36 and onward here. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which of course would have been James and John. Grief and anguish came over him, and he said to them, "The sorrow in my heart is so great that it almost crushes me. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went a little further on, threw himself face downward on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, take this cup of suffering from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he returned to the three disciples and found them asleep. And he said to Peter, "How is it that you three were not able to keep watch with me for even an hour? Keep watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more, Jesus went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cup of suffering cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done. He returned once more and found the disciples asleep. They could not keep their eyes open. And again, Jesus left them, went away and prayed a third time, saying the same words. And then he returned to the disciples and said, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be handed over to the power of sinful men. Get up, let us go. Look, here is the man who is to betray me." That, of course, was Judas Iscariot and those he had brought with him. You know, recently, we have learned that Jesus found great friendship in Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, as the three siblings offered their house in Bethany as a place of solace and rest for Jesus and his disciples. Last week, we learned that Jesus' siblings were at odds with him. That is, until they finally realized that he was indeed the true Messiah after his resurrection. And we learned that Jesus also is always striving to call each of us brothers and sisters in Christ, if only we'll seek out God's will through repentance. This Sunday, let's explore how Jesus created an inner circle of three disciples from the 12 in hopes that he could rely on them to be genuine confidants and, most of all, faithful witnesses to the gospel. May we pray. Merciful God, as Jesus hoped to rely on the faithfulness of his inner circle during his earthly ministry, we pray, O God, that we may ever be faithful to Christ's calling, that we'll be ever watchful rather than sleeping. For it is in Christ's name that we seek your guidance this day and always. Amen. From among the 12 disciples, our Lord Jesus sought to create an inner circle, and he chose three who would be his most intimate confidants, three who would experience wonders beyond earthly comprehension, three whom he hoped would be the fiercest defenders and proclaimers of the gospel once Jesus no longer resided on earth. Imagine, as he chose the 12, and especially as he chose the three, Jesus knew one day he would have to depart, and he would be relying upon these followers to carry the gospel message forth for generations to come. When you think of that, that is indeed an ominous concern for the Lord, is it not? The three that Jesus chose for his inner circle were the brothers, James and John, and their cousin, Simon Peter. Although we must also realize that although he is not named often, Simon's brother, Andrew, must have been a close fourth disciple with whom Jesus was likely very close. It is most interesting to realize that these four men were not only brothers, again, James and John, and then Simon, Peter, and Andrew, two sets of brothers, but they were also cousins, and their families also shared in a fishing trade on the Sea of Galilee, likely combining their family's efforts in Bethsaida and later at Capernaum. We must also understand that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was most likely a sister to Salome, the mother of James and John. So Jesus' inner circle was indeed a tightly knit group, even in familial kinship. I find that quite remarkable, don't you? And in fact, do you know that John the Baptist and Jesus were actually cousins, right? That's some tight-knit groups here. Isn't it amazing how God chose to rely on those tight-knit groups to be the core essence of those who would carry forth the gospel? These four men possessed a deep spiritual conviction even before they met up with Jesus and his ministry. All four were genuinely seeking out the truths of the Jewish faith and were likely yearning for the one true Messiah who would bring forth the new Jerusalem, as so many people of the Jewish faith believed in that time period. Even though they were hardworking, blue-collar fishermen from Galilee, without any kind of, you know, highfalutin high education, they gladly used their personal time and finances in their quest to deepen their faith and devotion to God. Our first introduction to Andrew and John shows the two cousins traveling from Galilee to seek out John the Baptist 90 miles away in the southern kingdom of Judea and sitting at his feet as disciples. It was John the Baptist who pointed them to Jesus, and it was Andrew who, after listening to Jesus, took Simon Peter to meet Jesus. Early on, all four men, Simon Peter, his brother Andrew, and the cousins James and John, were convinced that Jesus must be the Messiah whom the Jews had been seeking after for centuries. It makes perfect sense to realize why Jesus chose these four and why from them he chose the three to be his inner circle. And as Jesus progressed through his ministry, he purposely had these three disciples share in some of the most wondrous spiritual experiences of his entire ministry, in hopes that those experiences would galvanize their devotion to the cause of Christianity. Jesus had his inner circle join him in the room as Jesus rose Jairus' daughter from the dead, the first resurrection experience we have in the scriptures of Jesus' ministry. Jesus had his inner circle join him on the mountaintop, we don't know where specifically, for what was called the Transfiguration, where Jesus conversed with the spirits of Moses, the presenter of God's law, and Elijah, the greatest of the prophets, revealing that Jesus was to be the fulfillment of both the law and the prophets. And both Moses and Elijah bolstered Jesus in his endeavors to continue on in his journey. And after the Lord's Supper, Jesus and the disciples, we see from our text this morning, went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane simply meaning the Garden of the Olive Press. It was a private garden. In other words, you could not just walk in there because you wanted to. You had to have permission from the owner. And yet, we know that the owner had given Jesus the privilege to use this private space for quiet meditation and prayer. The Garden of Gethsemane was situated on the southernmost portion of the Mount of Olives, which overlooked the Kidron Valley. And to the southwest, there was Jerusalem and the temple. And all of that stood in clear view, as people would be over where the Garden of Gethsemane was. So imagine this. Jesus, on that night in which he knew he was heading to the cross, he could look across the valley, and there was the temple. And he knew that there in Jerusalem, he was going to be facing ominous conditions. All 12 disciples, first of all, went with Jesus to that Garden of Gethsemane. But once they are there, notice that he then divided the group. And he took with him a little bit further on into the garden those two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and of course, Simon Peter. And the text here in Matthew's gospel tells us that Jesus says to them in verse 38, "The sorrow in my heart is so great, it almost crushes me." And then he makes a request of them, "Stay here But what I want you to do is keep watch with me. Verse 38 says that he then went a little further away from those three by himself, threw himself face downward on the ground and prayed, "My Father, Abba, Father." It's almost like saying, "Dear Dad, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." So we can imagine the tremendous anguish Jesus was feeling in that very moment. Yet he had asked the three to do what? Be watchful. Be in prayer, if you will, for me. Verse 40 then tells us that Jesus got up from his prayer and he returned to the three of the inner circle and found them asleep. And he said to Peter, you know, it's kind of focusing on Peter being kind of the main guy here. And of course, all three would have been understanding what's being said really to all of them. "How is it that you three were not able to keep watch for me for even an hour?" Verse 41, "Keep watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Can you imagine the frustration Jesus must feel at this point? Just imagine. Here he had been relying on these three, carrying them forth into some of his most intimate circumstances of his ministry. And yet, it's like a parent, you know, having to say to the kids, "How many times have I told you to take out the trash before you leave for school? What does it take to take out the trash? Can't I rely upon you for anything?" You get it? You know, when we think of the Garden of Gethsemane, we focus so much on Jesus. We fail to think about what was happening here with these three. Verse 44, again, Jesus left them, went away, prayed a third time, saying the same words, and then he returned to his disciples and said, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be handed over to the power of sinful man. Get up, let's go. Look, here is the man who is betraying me." So it must have been that on the pathway there, even in the darkness of the night, somehow Jesus must have seen the torches of the men coming his way, and he knew that Judas Iscariot was there, likely at the head of the group. Here they're coming. And Jesus is saying, "My goodness, Simon Peter, James, and John, I've been leaning on you. And yet, you failed. You couldn't keep watch for just a few hours, even though I asked you. I asked you, I told you, I'm at a breaking point here. I need your help." You know, fortunately, as time goes on, what we find out, though, is that the three do truly step up as time goes on after the resurrection of Christ. Of course, they do step forward. Simon Peter is redeemed and becomes the key leader of the Church of Jesus Christ. James became the first apostle to be martyred for the faith. John, he lived the longest of the 12, was faithful in so many ministries, and may well have been the author of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And of course, the book of Revelation, closing portion of the New Testament. But you know, for you and me, this experience of the inner circle in the Garden of Gethsemane, it really ought to stir our hearts. It ought to prompt us to really take a close look at where we are in our relationship with Jesus Christ, whom we celebrate as our Lord and Savior, as Jesus is calling us to keep watch and to pray, are we? Or do we find ourselves sleeping as we plod through our lives? Do we find ourselves being distracted by the troubles or by the temptations or by the interests that we uphold day to day? Through the gospel stories, we too, like Jesus' inner circle, we experience the great wonders of Christ's miracles and ultimately the victory of his resurrection and ascension into heaven. But we must ask, are we keeping watch or are we sleeping? This is the challenge for you and for me as we strive to move forward in faithfulness to Christ's ways day to day in the days allotted to us here on earth. For we too hope for the resurrection and the privilege to share in God's eternal realm. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, today is that day for you to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today is your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation, number 586, Open My Eyes That I May See. We'll sing all three stanzas, please.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my
for being in the Lord's house this morning. And Ken, thank you for taking Ryan's place this morning. And again, a reminder, today at noon, we do have the potluck lunch for all of you. We hope you may join us in that time of celebration and fellowship. May we pray. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit abides with us to grant us a great measure of your peace and assurance and truly the privilege to be of service to your kingdom. Guide us on the journey as we depart from your house. Amen.
Secret, help me. in hope that sends a shining ray. Far down the future's broadening way, in peace at home, Master, let me live.
Go out and make it a great week.